enforcement to our governor are on board against ICE. It's wonderful. Alyssa, give your contact information, your hotline number, and any upcoming trainings that are scheduled with PERC.
I don't have the next training in front of me, but I will say that you can go to our social media, our Instagram or our Linktree, which I can make sure that you have, for the next couple of trainings that we have coming up from Negro Watch. And then make sure that if anybody in the community, that you save this phone number in your phone, and that's 1-888-622-1510. You can check out our website at PERC Oregon. I believe our Instagram is PERC_Oregon. And we just really encourage you, if there's nothing else you take away from today, save that contact information. Call us if you believe you see ICE activity or if a loved one has been taken from the community, and call your electeds. Make sure that they hear your voice, because this is the moment that we need to make sure our voices are heard.
Alyssa Walker-Keller with PERC, thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen. Have a good rest of your day.
This is Prison Pipeline, produced at the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Thank you to our engineer, and thank you for listening.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, also heard at translator K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM and translator K282BH in Philomath at 104.3 FM. And we're streaming at the top of our lungs on www.kboo.fm. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello, I'm Scott King.
And I'm Joe Tursty. We host the KBOO podcast, the King Tursty Music Hour. Every month, we upload a new show to our KBOO website. We currently have over 80 shows available for you to listen and enjoy.
Each of our shows is based on a different theme. Enjoy great music as well as our discussion of the songs and artists. Our show is rock, soul, and blues based, but you might hear anything, including country, jazz, and classical.
The easiest way to find us is to simply enter King Tursty Music Hour into your web browser and select it with the KBOO FM extension. That's King, K-I-N-G, Tursty, T-U-R-S-I, Music Hour.
While you're there, check out our wide variety of shows. We've got shows on social issues, musical themes, people, the holidays, and so much more.
That's the King Tursty Music Hour on KBOO, Portland, Oregon.
Independent media is now more important than ever, and we want to know how KBOO Community Radio can best serve you. KBOO's Board of Directors invites you to a community meeting on Saturday, February 21st at 11:30 a.m., at the Clinton Street Theater, and online via public video conference. This is your opportunity to share feedback, offer ideas, and help guide the station's direction. The meeting will be followed by a social hour. That's KBOO Community Radio's community meeting on Saturday, February 21st at 11:30 a.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. For more information, visit kboo.fm/community26.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0.
Never been done before.
We're talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you, people.
Peace and power, family. You are locked into Hard Knock Radio on the Pacifica Radio Network, the heartbeat of the street and the front line of the struggle. Kalonji Changa holding it down for Davey D. And as always, we're guided and produced by the incredibly talented and absolute gangster Anita Johnson. Today, we're examining the lethal intersection of white supremacy, state-sanctioned violence, and the unchecked power of the Department of Homeland Security. We're looking at a body count that is growing in the shadows. We're talking about Keith Porter, a 43-year-old black man shot and killed in Northridge, California by an off-duty ICE agent on New Year's Eve. DHS says the agent was investigating gunfire. The family says they see a man who wasn't trained for the situation acting as a vigilante. And Keefe is not an isolated incident. From Silveiro, Villegas, Gonzalez in Chicago to Renee Nicole Good and Alex Jeffrey Pretty in Minnesota, the agency once tasked with quote-unquote immigration has become a domestic paramilitary force killing our people with impunity. To help us break this down, we have a giant in the movement with us. Joining us today is Dr. Melina Abdullah. Dr. Abdullah is a professor of Pan-African Studies at Cal State LA and the co-founder of the Los Angeles chapter of Black Lives Matter. She is a world-class scholar, an organizer, and a warrior who has been at the forefront of the fight to defund the police and dismantle the carceral state. She's been one of the loudest voices demanding justice for Keefe Porter and exposing the reality that black immigrants and black citizens are both caught in the crossfires of this militarized state. Melina, welcome to Hard Knock Radio.
With you, Brother Kalanji. Great to be with you.
No doubt. Always a pleasure. We're in the building today. And you always cool to come on short notice. That's always a wonderful mm-hmm. thing. So we definitely appreciate that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And of course, I miss my brother Davey. But sending healing energy to Brother Davey.
You'll have to miss him. Don't worry about it. Davey will be all right.
Yeah. He better not claim that an injury keeps him from playing dominoes well, because we know he'd be losing anyway. So yeah, I haven't gotten on the dominoes table with you, Kalanji.
Nah, see, I'm from the East Coast. We spades players around there. You know what I'm saying?
I dominoes, you know.
Oh yeah, well you'll lose. So I mean, you know, that's just
no. I know I probably will. I'm mediocre at spades, but I'm good at dominoes.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay. We'll get a spades tournament on the West Coast. We'll do an East Coast West Coast beef or something.
Maybe you can teach me some things. There we go.
Hey man, word on the street. Anyway, definitely appreciate you and shout out to Davey D again. You know, a lot of folks talking about ICE. We know it's the, you know, it's what's happening. You know. But, you know, we hear folks in the community saying, you know, who is this Keefe Porter guy? And in some cases, we haven't heard anything at all. But we know that as always, if it's something happening, particularly in California, you know, you're on it. And so for our listening audience around the world, give us a synopsis of and a bio of who Keefe Porter is and then exactly what happened.
Sure. So Keith Porter is a 43-year-old black father. He's a girl dad, two beautiful children. They're now 10 and 20 years old. His youngest turned 10 after he died. His oldest is a standout college junior at University of Texas, Anaya. Keith is everything that we say we want our brothers to be. Hardworking, involved. His girls are his life. He calls his mama every single morning. He's his mama's only child. He worked two jobs to help because he got a daughter in college. So to be able to pay for her, for Anaya to be able to go to college, he's described universally. I've never met anybody with no enemies, right? Universally described as the life of every room he set foot in. And if you go on his social media, you can see why. He is divinely guided. He's talks about, you know, God in his life and God working through him. He's a hard worker, worked ironically at Home Depot full time, and then had a second job as well. And what happened on New Year's Eve is Keith became the first American citizen killed by ICE. And so I think people are right to mourn and rage about the murders of Renee Good and Alex Pretty in Minneapolis. We're right to be upset. We're right to be enraged. We're right to say shut it down. And I think that where we have to check ourselves is we cannot say the names Renee Good and Alex Pretty without saying Keith Porter. Keith Porter was out on New Year's Eve, well, in on New Year's Eve, but stepped out of his apartment unit and did what thousands and thousands of people do all across the country on New Year's Eve. I know I grew up in Oakland where we knew people step outside and they let off celebratory shots. And he went outside and let off a celebratory shot in an area where no one else was. He did his best to practice gun safety. He had just moved. He was born and raised in Compton and had just moved to Northridge, which is an area of Los Angeles called the Valley, but it's still LA, right? But it's a more kind of suburban and whiter environment. He had just moved into this big apartment complex 11 months prior. He found an open area and let off a celebratory shot, unbeknownst to him, an ICE agent who was not on duty had moved in and lived in that same complex, saw Keith, went inside, put on his full ICE tactical gear, came back outside with his ICE-issued firearm. Keith was headed back into his unit to meet his girlfriend. Had gone out to pick up food. They were going to entertain people at the apartment that night for New Year's Eve to ring in the new year. And the ICE agent came out and shot Keith dead. And that's what we know to have happened. We also immediately got out and had a vigil for Keith, have been engaging with community. And we know that Keith's killer was not identified by LAPD. They have not arrested him. He has not been charged. But we know that the ICE agent's name is Brian Palacios. And through community, we learned that Brian Palacios is a repeated child abuser. He brandishes firearms. He carried a unholstered firearm in plain clothes. You know, he went as a parent to a soccer match. And I guess the conversation is he doesn't get along with his girlfriend's ex-husband and brandished the firearm there. He's been beating the children so badly that they had to be kept out of school because he didn't want to be reported for the marks left on the children's bodies. He repeatedly calls Black people the N-word. And even though he's brown himself, he calls brown folks by disparaging language, uses homophobic language. So he's a, what do they call him? A scourge, right? He's a racist child abuser. His name is Brian Palacios. And again, LAPD did nothing to help. They've called Keith the suspect. They've called Keith an active shooter. He's none of those things. And they hailed, DHS hailed his murderer a hero. And we know all of those things are exactly wrong. So another thing that we've been doing is saying that they have to quit with the character assassination of Keith Porter, who's the victim in this murder.
It's crazy that I'm sitting here listening to you, and for the viewers and the listeners, you know, you're telling us that this man is, he's an off-duty ICE agent. So he's not even on the clock. He's not celebrating anything but the murder of this Black man. DHS has been framing this ICE agent and his actions as self-defense while off-duty. What does it say about the culture of ICE that an off-duty agent feels empowered to act as an armed interventionist in a residential neighborhood?
Right. So one, we got to look at who's being recruited to ICE, right? These ICE recruits are the worst of the worst. They're signing up for the $50,000 signing bonus, right? They're signing up because they know, like, the number that's coming out of ICE agents who are domestic violence perpetrators who are engaging, like Brian Palacios is not an anomaly in terms of child abusers and one who commits acts of domestic violence. Many, many of them are. They are, I think, trained for only 47 days, and they've been enabled to do really the kind of terrible criminal activity that they wanted to do, and many of them had been doing in the first place. When I think about Brian Palacios, I don't know. I believe there are several restraining orders. If not, there were several restraining orders sought on Brian Palacios. I know that you can't have a gun as a regular, you know, human being, as a regular, you know, homeowner, if you have a restraining order. How did this fool get a ICE issued? ICE gave him his firearm, right? Even though he is clearly violent outside of ICE. But the other thing, Brother Kalanji, is we know that ICE killed 32 people last year, right? Most of them in custody deaths, but 32 people were killed at the hands of ICE last year. I think it's important, though, that we remember ICE is part of a larger architecture of policing. So while ICE is the most well-funded federal law enforcement agency in history, right, got an increase of, what is it, $170 billion increase, right, to ICE. It's the most well-funded in history. ICE is also part of a larger infrastructure of policing that are all bound up with ICE. So while ICE killed 32 people last year and are, you know, terrorizing communities and separating families and deporting people who are not, as they claim, as Trump claims, right, the worst of the worst. They're not the criminals. ICE is actually the criminals. We also have to remember that police killed upwards of 1,200 people last year. So ICE is responsible for 32, but police killed 1,200. And so LAPD is protecting ICE agents. They're protecting Brian Palacios. They're protecting ICE agents who shoot people with rubber bullets, who I was the victim of tear gassing at some of these anti-ICE protests. But it's LAPD who's both protecting ICE, but also engaging, right? Most of the rubber bullets actually came from LAPD, and so did the tear gas. It's not, they're all a part of the same terrible system of policing. So two things, again, don't say Alex Priddy and Renee Good without saying Keith Porter. The second thing is, when we say abolish ICE, which I absolutely say abolish ICE with my whole chest, we have to also be willing to challenge racist policing that is responsible for most of the murders and brutality and protecting ICE itself.
I definitely appreciate you speaking on the fact that there were 32 killed by ICE and 1,200 killed by police. So together we'll say it's 1,232 killed by police, because of the fact that we know it's a different arm of the same body of criminality, right? I want to ask, because of course what's going on in Minnesota is, you know, it's the hot topic. And we know it, you know, we know it, as Gil Scott-Heron would say, it ain't no new thing. You know what I'm saying? We know that's been taking place all over the United States and, quite frankly, all over the world. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a microcosm of the macrocosm, right? But I want to ask you, because you mentioned 32 people, and it would probably be pretty factual that most Americans would know the name Renee Good, and now they know the name Alex Petri. I'm interested in knowing these other 32 people. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that they've been quote unquote nameless or invisible, but now we know the names of these two individuals, and rightfully so, we should know their names. You know what I mean? We acknowledge, you know, police murders, assassinations, ICE, whatever, US Army, military, whatever, right? But why do you think that these 32 other individuals are like unknown soldiers? Or did I miss something and all of the names was announced and I was under the rock? I mean, what was your thoughts?
Number one, in 2025, when ICE killed 32 people, most of them, all of them, were, none of them were U.S. citizens. And so this country tries to act like life has no value unless you are a white citizen of the United States. So those 32 people killed last year were not U.S. citizens. So they try to make them into, you know, it allows them to advance a narrative that the black folks, that the brown folks, also none of them were white, So it allows them to advance the narrative that, you know, the people that ICE has its has targeted are criminals. These are not criminals. These are human beings. And it's really important that we uplift it. I'm challenging myself to learn the names of the people who were killed in 2025. We don't know. Keith Porter's name would be one of the ones who was buried, even though he is a U.S. citizen. He is what some people call foundational Black American, right? He is the descendant of enslaved people who built this country. That's who Keith Porter is. But his name would be buried as well. It has not been mentioned still in mainstream media. His name would be buried if it weren't for organizations like Black Lives Matter Grassroots, because he's not a white citizen. So when they say U.S. citizens, they're talking about white U.S. citizens. That Renee Good gets her name spoken on MSNBC or whatever they are, MS Now or whatever they are, because she's a white U.S. citizen. That Alex Priddy gets his name spoken. And I'm not saying Renee and Alex shouldn't have their names spoken, but don't speak their names and not speak Keith's name, right? So we see the erasure of the non-citizens as well as the people who are not seen as citizens, because our citizenship has always been tenuous. Black citizenship has always been tenuous. We had to pass a whole constitutional amendment to make us citizens, and we still ain't. Don't get the full recognition of citizenship in this country.
No doubt. You're checking out Hard Knock Radio on the Pacifica Radio Network. I am Kalonji Changa, filling in for my main man, Davey D. We got the revolutionary homie, Dr. Malina Abdullah, in the building, the People's Vice President, you know what I'm saying, Dr. Malina Abdullah. And we're talking about Keith Porter. We're talking about why Black lives still don't matter, you know what I'm saying? And we're talking about, you know, the criminal state itself. I wanna hop back on this whole, I want us to speak to this double jeopardy of being Black and quote unquote immigrant, and how that makes these communities particularly vulnerable to ICE violence. Because I think that, you know, oftentimes, you know, some of us, I'm not even gonna say us, some people have made it a quote unquote Latinx type issue. And so you still have folks running around talking about that's not our issue, so on and so forth. And then they see two white folks gunned down. They're like, well, you know, that's their issues and whatever. Where was they when this was happening? So on and so forth. And you know the script. But I want to, you know, let's talk about that. Like, what? Let's talk about this double jeopardy.
Yeah. So when Trump took office in this current cycle, Black Lives Matter Grassroots put out a statement in January, right? We put out a second statement in June when ICE first invaded Los Angeles. And we made four points about why we can't, quote unquote, sit this one out, right? Because you had lots of Black folks saying this is not our fight, as you said, like they're saying this is not our fight. And we made four points around that. One, Black people have always been the moral compass of the world. And I think that what keeps me, I'm a firm believer that what keeps me protected and what keeps me alive, really, is my grandma used to say, just do the work and live righteously, right? And I think that regardless of other people being unrighteous, regardless of, because you hear a lot, especially in LA, because there is tension. There are fights between Black and Brown communities. And there is some truth that our Brown brothers and sisters sometimes aspire to whiteness and treat Black people badly, right? Despite all of that, we are still called upon to do what's right. And so the first point is to be right, to do right, to do what I believe we're divinely guided to do. And so that's the first point. We've always been the moral compass. We're going to keep being the moral compass. The second point is that Black people are migrants too. And one of my dearest sisters is Gerlene Joseph, founder of Haitian Bridge Alliance. She'll be the first to give information out about how Haitian migrants are particularly targeted by this regime, right? And we got to remember that Black people are migrants too. What is happening in Minneapolis? Who's being directly targeted by name, by migrant group, is Somalis who are Black people, right? And I would challenge us, if you in Minneapolis, if I'm in Minneapolis, challenge a ICE agent to tell us where we from. They're not gonna know that my family hails from Texas, right? They're not gonna know where you from, right? Or where your family is from. They can't even tell us apart, but Black people are also migrants, migrants too. The third point is solidarity is always the best strategy. Oppressed people of the world have to organize alongside each other. And I know that there's some groups that have not been particularly welcoming to Black people and they've meted out anti-Blackness. We can fight about that later. Right now, what we have to overthrow is white supremacist capitalism, which is keeping us all oppressed and has declared war on all of us. So solidarity is the best praxis and the best strategy. And then lastly, and Keith Porter helps us, it's heartbreaking that he illustrates the truth of the last point, which is that there has never been a time in history where more militarized police is good for Black people. More police, police in your apartment complex, in his apartment complex, is what killed Keith Porter. And so we made those four points. This is why Black people have to be involved. And then we got to think about who's calling for action. I know people try to say that it's brown community. I love many, many folks and get down with many, many folks and brown community. And who's calling for the blackout on Friday? And many of these actions are actually Black student unions and Somali students. And so we have to step up for our babies and make sure that we engage in a way that protects them.
I'm listening to you, and I was thinking, you know, just as what a excuse me, wild world we live in. And while you were talking, I thought about the letter that James Baldwin wrote Angela Davis, and towards the end of it, he said, "If they come for you at night, they'll come for me in the morning." And that was sort of a paraphrase or quote from Pastor Martin Niemöller when he talked about first they came for the communities, excuse me, for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists. I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists. I did not speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. We have to often be reminded, because I know that Dr. King, one of the most revolutionary folks of the last century, and I say that because sometimes folk give Dr. King a bad rap and they try to make him look like this pacifist and like he was soft. And those are people who I know that never organized in places like Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, et cetera. They never walked down these dirt roads and they never faced these racists head on, you know. So we expect that. But one of the things that Dr. King said was that a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And so I want to remind folks that this is beyond race. It is beyond, you know, just your particular culture. It's a class situation as well. And we're headed into a serious vortex. And if you're not hip to it, you will be sucked in. I want to talk a little bit about Severio Villegas Gonzalez. He was killed while fleeing in Chicago. How does the fear of the uniform, quote unquote, create these lethal situations where people are killed simply for trying to escape a system they know is rigid? You're muted this time.
I know that that there's conversation about people fleeing police. I teach my kids to run. they're a murderous body, right? My brother and I were looking at data in California about, so in Los Angeles, we have seen the lowest rates of violent crime since 1959. So crime is down, and then there's a new study out that talks about crime being down around every major city, like record lows in terms of crime, right? There's one exception to that rule. It's police violence. So crime is down to the lowest level since 1959 in Los Angeles, except for a 70% increase in police shootings. In fact, police shootings, when you look at the number of those killed, police shootings amount to almost 10% of the murders. This is what we need to think about. When you look at those numbers, and then you also look at like gang, so-called gang violence, you have almost an equal chance. If it's a gang member coming at you on one side of the street and a cop coming at you on the other side of the street, I'd actually go on the side of the gang member, because you have an almost equal probability of being killed by a cop as being killed by a gang member. So when you talk about fleeing police, why wouldn't we flee police? Because they are murderers. And that does not account for those who aren't killed, who are brutalized instead or unjustly criminalized instead. Every single day, information is coming out about how corrupt police are. Here in LA, again, this week, it was just revealed that after they committed horrific acts of brutality on protesters, LAPD got caught deleting that information and covering up their own abuses. And so this is what happens here. If you think about that, Chicago has a whole center, torture justice center, right? As a result of their long history, decades long history of committing acts of torture, mostly on Black people in Chicago. Of course, we're going to flee. And that speaks directly to the issue that you brought up and the brother that you brought up in Chicago.
You know, I'm listening to you talk about, you know, if there's a gang member on one side of the street and a cop on the other side, that you'd walk on the side of the gang members, right? My only pushback is that they're both gangs, regardless of the colors. We know that the blue gang, and I'm not talking about Crips, we're not talking about Crips and Bloods, we're talking about the blue gang being these folks, you know what I'm saying? It's all the same gang. So, you know, I agree with you, but just to remind you that, you know, we don't let these criminals off the hook because of the fact we recognize that they are the biggest gang and they are the most gangster because they're licensed. Yeah. So, you know, just
and I'm gonna double down on your point because we know there's an independent journalist. I don't know if you know Sister Cerise Castle, but phenomenal Sister Cerise Castle, who's unearthed how deep gang culture in Los Angeles goes. And so we always say Google LASD gangs, because LA County Sheriff's deputy gangs have been setting people up, killing people, you know, throwing people from balconies and jails, you know, for, again, decades. It goes decades back. I think about this brother. I don't know if you know Jay Burton, but he's the co-founder of several prison chapters of Black Lives Matter grassroots. He was set up when he was 16 years old by the Linwood Vikings. These gangs, as you rightfully call them, actually have names. They have tattoos. They have, what do they call it? Initiation processes. The Linwood Vikings, the Rattlesnakes, Antelope Valley Rattlesnakes, the Compton Executioners, they are gangs, as you said.
Right. And to your point, definitely LA, New York, Atlanta, Chicago, Memphis, gangs within gangs. You know what I'm saying? We're not even talking about the quote unquote police unions. We're not talking about the Fraternal Order of the Police. We're talking about actual gangs that really get down and have their little initiations and their process. So that's very important for the listeners. Again, you're checking out Hard Knock Radio, Pacifica Radio Network. I'm Kalonji Changa, filling in for Davey D, riding shotgun with Dr. Melina Abdullah. Melina, one of the things that we talked about, the quote-unquote off-duty agent, and you know how he was involved in the murder, the cold-blooded murder of our brother. Does this remind you of the historical slave patrols that were essentially empowered to, you know, police black bodies and, you know, at all times around the clock? Because it just seems like this dude right here, you know, you talked about that $50,000 bonus or that $50,000 signing, but he's off the clock. It's going into the new year. And he saw fit to see a brother who wasn't in danger, because everyone knows that, you know, unfortunately in the black community, in many communities, during the holidays, New Year's and 4th of July, things of that nature, folks bust up in the air. Me personally, I would say save your bullets, but you know, who am I? I'm just a ranting, raving lunatic. But I want to ask you, what, you know, do you feel that it, does it remind you of slave patrols?
Absolutely. I mean, we know police descend from slave patrols. This is inarguable. We know that that's where they come from, right? And I think that many folks are eager to sign up for ICE, which has no accountability. We don't like any, so I'm gonna be straight up, I don't like any police. But when you talk about ICE, you're talking about an institution that's only 23 years old. So it's easy. I always say, you don't even have to reach down into your radical imagination to imagine abolishing ICE, right? We can just reach back into our memories, because it's only been 23 years since there was even an immigration and customs enforcement. ICE is new, right? So they are not even attempting to create any semblance of cover, of accountability, of structure. They're saying this is totally the wild, wild west. Y'all can do whatever you want. And so if you want to harken back to your forefathers who were actual patty rollers, this is a space for it. And that's who we see with these ICE agents. Brian Palacios, and I just texted you a picture of him. I know some people are uncomfortable calling police pigs. I'm not. I intentionally use that term, especially as a Muslim. I think that they are pigs. I think that cops are pigs, right? But Brian Palacios, even if you don't normally call cops pigs, he, again, is a child abuser. He's a domestic violence perpetrator. He's a racist. He's a homophobe. He's all of these things. And when you see his photo, the photo that community sent to us is of him eating s'mores. He is absolutely a pig. And so I think that it's important that we know who these people are. Hats off to those who were able to create this database of ICE agents and their backgrounds and their photos. Hats off to them, because there is nowhere that these people, I paused for a reason, that these people should be able to go and be comfortable. If you see Brian Palacios, if LAPD doesn't want to arrest him, if the DA, Nathan Hochman, doesn't want to charge him, because all of these elected officials and appointed officials get the support of these police associations, as you pointed out, which are not unions. They're associations. They are organized crime. So they're all tangled up together. If they don't want to do their job, the people got to do their job. Just like the people gave us the name Brian Palacios as Keith Porter's murderer. Just like the people revealed the identity of Jonathan Ross, who killed Renee Good. Just like the people gave us that photo of Brian Palacios eating s'mores, the people got to make sure that there is nowhere that they go that they can be live in peace, because they are wreaking havoc on the world. I know that it's rumored, and there is information that Jonathan Ross, who killed Renee Good, is now in Long Beach, California. And some people have said, be careful. How do we know that it's Jonathan Ross? What if it's another ICE agent? I don't care. None of them should be able to live in peace. They are part of a Gestapo. They should not be able to walk around in peace. They should not be able to eat dinner in peace. They shouldn't be able to roast another s'more without somebody throwing water on that fire, right? So we got to make sure that the people fight back. And I'm really, really encouraged by the number of people who've been in the streets in Minneapolis and Los Angeles and Atlanta. I know that people all around the country, especially on Friday, will be out in the streets, but we got to stay in the streets, because even though ICE is big and well-funded, there's more people than there are ICE agents. There's more people than there are police. There's more people than there are patty rollers. So the people got to rise up.
No doubt. And definitely salute to the folks that you mentioned that have been putting these names out, because we know that that has been a problem. It's been, you know, ICE and DHS is often withheld the names of these agents. And it's been it's been difficult to operate when it's a quote unquote black box for its employees, right? I want to ask you, you've been a major proponent of defunding and dismantling the LAPD. Does this same logic apply to ICE? And is the agency reformable, or must it be abolished as a whole, entirely?
Yes, they must be abolished.
Okay, so we talk about abolish
and
ICE.
The entire system of policing. So again, abolish ICE and recognize it's part of an entire infrastructure that is harmful, that is murderous, that is brutal, that is corrupt. And if we think about how much we could resource, like LA spends $4 billion on LAPD, and that doesn't include the $300 million they just paid out in lawsuits that comes from another part of the city budget, right? What if we have $4 billion for housing? $4 billion, right. That's saying $170 billion budget increase for ICE? You know what we could do with that money? Everybody could go to school for free. Everybody could be housed. Everybody could eat. We could have universal health care. You know what we could pay for? Reparations. We could have reparations with the amount of money that they're pouring into racist policing that descends from the system of chattel slavery in the first place.
No doubt. Definitely appreciate that. I know that you're heavy on media, not only as far as, you know, of course, you being a guest or whatever, but sometimes you're in front of the camera, sometimes you're behind the camera. You know, we have different roles, as everyone knows, right? So when it comes to the whole media narrative, we know that media often uses words like allegedly and armed to justify these killings immediately. How do we shift the narrative to focus on the human rights of the victims before the state's propaganda takes over?
I think what you did, Brother Kalanji, is really important. Like, when we started this conversation, you said, well, who is Keith Porter, right? Having those conversations and remembering that Keith Porter is a Black father, that people love him. We had an action yesterday. There is a petition for Keith Porter at tinyurl.com/signforkeith. We had it up for less than 2 weeks, and we were hoping, it's still up, people can still sign it. Our goal when we put it up was to get 5,000 people to sign it, get 5,000 people to sign it over a 2 week period and then deliver these petitions. In 2 weeks, we had 18,000 people signed it. So well in excess of our goal. And so we went to the LA Police Commission meeting yesterday in order to deliver this petition to the police chief and this civilian body that's supposed to oversee LAPD. We were blocked actually from delivering the the paper because you're not allowed to approach the dais that the police chief sits on. So we weren't actually able to hand deliver it, but we're emailing it. So when we were there, we packed the room. There were hundreds of people in the room. And even though they limited public comment, somebody that did make their way to the podium to be able to deliver public comment said this. They said, Keith Porter is a universe. An entire universe of people live inside of Keith Porter. So when they murdered Keith Porter, they murdered a piece of his daughters. When they murdered Keith Porter, they murdered a piece of his mother. They murdered a piece of his community. They murdered, you know, we did a vigil just a couple days after Keith was killed, and he worked at Home Depot. Most of his co-workers were not Black, and dozens of them came out to pay tribute to Keith. Right, they got there. We called for the vigil at 5 p.m. They were there at like 3 p.m. setting up, putting out candles, making sure that Keith's life was honored. And so when you say, what can media do? I think telling the true story of those of our people who are victims of police killings, of ICE killings, making sure that we remember that Keith Porter is a Black girl dad, and lifting that up first, and then being absolutely clear, even like what you just did when I said, if there's a gang member on one side and a police on another, nah, police are gangs too, right? That they are criminal. And so telling the truth is hugely important. And I think this is why we need Black independent media. Corporate media has the same interests as the protectors of capital. Police are the protectors of capital. If corporate media is capitalism, are the mouthpieces of capitalism, they're in bed with the police too. So we need independent media to tell the truth.
I'm looking, and you know, of course, we don't expect mercenary media to tell our story. We didn't expect Keith Porter to be in mainstream or mercenary media, because that's not their job. So we salute those folks like Hard Knock Radio and other entities. Certainly, I got to shout out Black Pod Media. I'm going to get kicked up. But this is why it's important to support entities like Pacifica Radio, you know, Hard Knock Radio, et cetera, because, you know, you're not going to get proper information. One of the things I appreciate about what you're doing over at Black Lives Matter LA is we always get some form of we get a media blast. You know what I'm saying? You let us know when whatever's going on, situations that's taking place in LA and other parts of the country that might fall through the crack. So what you're doing, we salute and appreciate it. You mentioned that the LA police had gotten, you were talking about, like, what did you say? Like $4 billion or something like that. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, you know, of course, first thing that pops in my head is the state of Israel, but that's a whole nother story. But you talk about this $4 billion. We're in 2026, and we know around the country, around the world, the quote-unquote enforcement budget is higher than ever. Why do we see both sides of the political aisle continue to fund an agency with the kind of track record that they have?
So, you know what, I'm on a truth-telling. I always tell the truth, but I don't always as vocally. I'm not always as vocal as I am now, right?
You went to laundry today. I don't even understand why you even got to get that disclaimer. You're supposed to be letting off.
Yeah, I'm going to, because I try to be hopeful about people's intention, right? The Democratic Party is no different than the Republican Party. And I know that makes most Black people uncomfortable, because we want to think that they're different things. All the Democrats are is sometimes kinder and gentler. Like, they're the benevolent slave owners, right? But they still are brutal and dehumanizing. People talk about Trump. Trump is absolutely terrible. And who was the deporter in chief? Barack Obama. Right? Mm-hmm. When we talk about, you mentioned Israel, when we talk about who's funding Israel, it is they are exceptions when you find a member of Congress who is courageous enough not to send your tax dollars and mine to fund a genocide against the Palestinian people. They are spending billions and billions of dollars to arm Israel, to kill Palestinians and take their land, right? This is what Democrats are voting for, with the exception of people like Cori Bush and Jamal Bowman, who then the Democratic Party gets out, right? With the exception of people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley, who are few of the remaining Democrats who dare to say we're not funding Israel, who dare to say, I mean, these Democrats won't even say abolish ICE. And I think the latest polling is more Americans this quickly, more Americans want to abolish ICE now than to keep it. So it doesn't make any sense. So the Democratic Party is, the way that mainstream politics works is they got to raise money in order to win those seats. And so they're bought off by the capitalism that benefits from coups in Venezuela, that benefits from genocides in Palestine and Congo and Sudan. And so the Democratic Party is bought off. And this last thing that I'll say on that is that even so-called progressive Democrats, like the mayor of Los Angeles, a Black so-called progressive Democrat, has not said a word about the genocide in Palestine, has not said abolish ICE. In fact, what they're doing is saying, no, just give me the resources and I'll carry out the sentiment myself. And so we got to untether ourselves, because what they try to teach us, what they try to brainwash into believing, is that it's more important for them to keep their seats than to do the work of the people. I could give a damn about you if you keep that seat if you're not doing work that benefits the people. I could give a damn about a Karen Bass in office if she's doing the work of white supremacy. You can get out too.
No doubt, no doubt. You mentioned Ilhan Omar, and I just saw this piece where a white boy tried to spray her with some type of substance at a town hall meeting. And I looked at it and I'm like, wow, the security's like way on the other side. I just couldn't imagine them getting close enough to certain elected officials to even you know, entertain that. To a great extent, it looked like she had to defend herself, like she had to jump into a fighting position, you know, to see what was going on herself, you know. And that leads me to ask, like, you know, I mean, of course, it's rhetorical, this Black Lives Matter, right? But we're not going to go there. But what I am going to say is, and I know we're pressed for time, you know, for the listeners in LA and across the Pacific Network, what are some immediate steps for the movement to ensure Keith Porter's name isn't swept under the rug? Because you made some valid points. And I'm grateful because of the fact that I have to say that even I hadn't heard about Keith Porter until I heard it from you. You know what I mean? So it was one of your reports, seeing you talk about it, where all types of media, you know, that actually knew about it, remained silent. So what can the people do? What are some immediate steps that people, not only in your area, but across the airwaves can do to say his name, as they would say?
Sure, so say his name. That's really important. So I'm noticing people posting Renee Good and Alex Pretty. Here's real easy, like, be a troll, hop in those comments and say, what about Keith Porter, right? We need to make sure that his name is lifted up. And I'm grateful that a lot of folks with platforms are starting to say the name Keith Porter, and they're sharing what you're sharing, that they didn't know and now they do, and now they're lifting Keith Porter's name. Second is, we need to demand that, I'm an abolitionist, but as long as there's prisons and jails, people who steal the lives of Black people and wear a uniform while doing it should be the first ones in them. So we want to arrest and prosecute Brian Palacios for the murder of Keith Porter. You can sign the petition at tinyurl.com/signforkeith, all spelled out, tinyurl.com/signforkeith. And then I'm going to say this, that Renee Good's GoFundMe got so much money that her family decided to shut it down. Keith Porter's is not that, right? He has two girls that no longer have a father. So please donate. And I know sometimes there is deep-pocketed folks who listen to your show. We want these celebrities to step up, adopt Anaya, and pay for her college tuition. She should never have to worry about whether or not she's going to be able to graduate. So you can go to tinyurl.com/donate for Keith, tinyurl.com/donate for Keith, which is the GoFundMe that was set up by his mom. There's several of the Keith Porter GoFundMes online. Don't donate to the others. We can't vouch for them, but this is the one set up by his mom, tinyurl.com/donate for Keith. I'll also say this, that this is a time where we have to stay organized. So join an organization. There's Black Lives Matter grassroots chapters, 52 of us, right? 52 chapters all around the world. Join a chapter by going to blmgrassroots.org and find a chapter near you. But if we're not your get down, if you don't like us for whatever reason, you don't like the tone of my voice, that's okay. Join another organization. So that's what I'll offer, and make sure that we keep us safe. You mentioned Ilhan Omar. She's beautiful. She's strong. Me and my daughter were laughing. We were like, she's a G, right? Because she did defend herself. But she's also a mama. And she's also a human being who Donald Trump has declared personal war on. He is obsessed with Ilhan Omar. So we should be protecting her. We should be protecting our freedom fighters. We know about the arrest of Chantel Allen and Akima Levy Armstrong up in Minneapolis. Protect them. Protect our freedom fighters and make sure that we keep us safe.
And on that, I say definitely join an organization. Look into organizations. Look deep, far, and wide, because it's a war going on outside. That is our time for today. A massive shout out to Dr. Malina Abdullah for joining us and dropping that heavy truth. Family, we have to stay vigilant. When we talk about Keith Porter, we aren't just talking about one man. We're talking about the soul of our communities and the right to exist without being hunted by federal agents in our front yard. You know, don't let the name Keith Porter fade into the static. Power is in the people, but only if the people are organized. Huge thanks to the incredibly talented and gangster Anita Johnson for the production. And to all of you for tuning in to the Pacific Radio Network, I'm Kalonji Chonga filling in for Davey D. Keep your head up, your fists clenched, and your eyes open. We'll catch you next time on Hard Knock Radio. Peace.
Hard Knock Radio. East, west, north, south, conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous. Speaking to the thugs, one love. We know where y'all at. Round Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real.
Give me your own push it. Again. Give me a push it.
This is Bird Note. As the February moon rises over a Louisiana marsh, a peculiar sound breaks the nocturnal silence. It's the call of a black rail, a bird whose voice seems pulled straight from a cartoon soundtrack. Black rails are one of a half dozen North American rails, a group of marsh-inhabiting birds more often heard than seen. Just 6 inches tall, the black rail is a puffball, the shape of a barnyard chick. For birdwatchers, seeing a black rail is akin to seizing the Holy Grail. Black rails are not only tiny and dark, but they are secretive and most active at night. Many black rails nest in marshes along the Atlantic seaboard and in the Midwest. But in winter, they concentrate in the coastal marshes of East Texas, Louisiana, and Florida, areas that face many threats. U.S. populations of black rails have declined greatly. In recent decades, the enactment of laws protecting wetlands has improved the bird's prospects. Those who support conservation of wetlands help assure that this shy bird's comical voice will be heard for many years to come. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM.
It's the month of love, so let's celebrate the love of the blues and the legend Willie Mae Thornton, aka Big Mama Thornton. Tune in Friday, February 13th at 8 p.m. with me, Katie Zip,